Our reading tonight is Psalm 3. You may, if you were here last week, you'll know that we looked at Psalm 2, and we're going one further into Psalm 3 tonight. And I'd encourage you to look that up in your Bible if you have one. And if you don't, then you will see the words up on the screen behind me. So we're reading from Psalm 3, the entire Psalm. Psalm 3, a psalm of David when he fled from his son Absalom. Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. But you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, the one who lifts my head high. I call out to the Lord, and he answers me from his holy mountain. I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear, though tens of thousands assail me on every side. Arise, Lord, deliver me, my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked. From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people. Amen. Friends, a few years back, I read the story of a young man by the name of Johannes. Johannes was an 18-year-old Christian living in a small village on Halmahera Island in Indonesia. One night, he was woken up by a friend at 3 a.m. with the frightening news that heavily armed jihad warriors were heading for the village. As the people desperately tried to escape, Johannes was accosted by about 20 of the Islamic militants. When I ran into the jungle, he reported, I was captured by the jihad. They chopped my ear, my shoulder, my body, and my neck with machetes. Grisly scars bear vivid testimony to his tale. The wound on his neck suggests that they attempted to sever his head. After that, they covered me with banana leaves and planned to set me on fire. Praise the Lord, they couldn't light the fire. Before they left, they attacked again to make sure I was dead. In a dreadful state, Johannes was amazed that he had not bled to death. This young man, along with hundreds of millions of Christians like him, have suffered serious persecution for their faith. Their relationships, their homes, their security, their well-being, even their very lives put in danger. Many believers are keenly aware of the enemies that they face in this world, enemies who want to stop them from trusting in Jesus, who want to stop them from worshipping Jesus, who want to stop them from telling others about Jesus. And as a result, they can well relate to the situation of David in Psalm 3. Because did you notice the title of this psalm? It says this is a psalm of David when he fled from his son Absalom. I don't know if you know the story. You can read about it in 2 Samuel. I'm actually going through it in my own devotions right at this moment. You see, God had anointed David to be the king over the nation of Israel. And just this morning, Reuben spoke about how the Lord chose David to carry forward his covenant promise, the promise of a royal descendant who would be the eternal savior of his people. But David had a wicked and ungodly son by the name of Absalom, who wanted to interrupt those plans and who wanted to take the throne for himself. And he was full of hatred and revenge and deceit. And so he deviously won over the hearts of the people and he turned them against his father. And then he set out to take the nation by force. And in 2 Samuel 15 verse 14, it says this, "Then David said to all of his officials who were with him in Jerusalem, 'Come, we must flee, or none of us will escape from Absalom. We must leave immediately, or he will move quickly to overtake us and bring ruin on us and put the city to the sword. David knew that Absalom would not hesitate to kill even his own father to get his way. He knew that his son was a deadly and dangerous opponent. And that is why David fled into the wilderness. And that is why David wrote this psalm. And with that context in mind, listen to the first two verses. Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. David recognized that his adversaries were great in number, his own son along with his mighty troops. And he recognized that they were actively seeking to do him harm, and that they were fearsome, and that they were powerful. But David also recognized that his adversaries despised his relationship with the Lord, and thus they sought to undermine his confidence and his trust. But what about us? Do we have enemies like Johannes? Enemies like the oppressed believers in other nations in this world? Enemies like King David had in this psalm? You know, sometimes we may think that's not the case. Sometimes we might feel that we here in Tasmania are safe from attack. We need to think about this very carefully. You see, we need to understand that behind all these forms of persecution and aggression lies another enemy who is far more clever and far more crafty and far more capable than we may even realize. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul writes this. He says, "Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." In 1 Peter chapter 5, it says this, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings." Oh, how vital it is to know that our true and greatest enemy is in fact Satan, the devil, the evil one, along with all who do his bidding. At the end of the day, it was Satan who was behind this plot against David, who was behind that attack on Johannes, who was behind the torment of persecuted believers around this world. But it is also the devil who attacks you and who attacks me. Do you really think he is happy that we've put our faith in Christ? Do you think he is happy that we love and praise and devote our lives to him? Do you think he's happy that we are his witnesses in this world? Of course not. Even though his assault on us may be less obvious and less violent, it is no less real and dangerous. He attacks us, for example, with temptation, trying to drag us away from the Lord and into sin. He wants us to worship money and possessions and pleasure and power. He wants us to fall into immorality and into addictions, to be apathetic, to be selfish, to be proud. He can also attack us with troubles in our lives, just like Job in the Old Testament. Financial hardship, family tragedy, illness and suffering, unwanted problems. He seeks to undermine our faith, to make us question God's love for us, to blame God for our struggles, and to turn away from him. The evil one can attack us with doubts, planting seeds of uncertainty in our minds so that our hope fades and we lose confidence in our Heavenly Father and in his promise of salvation. We start wondering if it's all real. We start wondering if it's worth it. We start wondering if it really applies to us. Our friend Satan can attack us with guilt and accusations, making us feel like God could never forgive us. He attacks us with busyness and distractions, making us weak and useless Christians. He attacks us with conflict and divisions in the church, drawing us away from our calling. He attacks us with worries and anxiety, whittling away our trust. You can be certain our enemy, the devil, truly is prowling around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He wants to devour you. He wants to devour me. He wants to destroy our faith. He wants to rob us of our hope. He wants to make us miserable and negative and ineffective, and he wants us to work against the Lord's purposes or even to reject the Lord altogether. So what do we do when faced with the devil's schemes? When we struggle against the rulers and authorities and powers of this dark world and the spiritual forces of evil? Friends, how can we, as such weak and sinful people, stand firm in the face of such formidable opposition? Well, that's what David tells us in the rest of this psalm. For the first thing he does is he trusts in the Lord's protection. Trust in other people, but trusted only in his almighty, loving God. I mean, that's who he already called out to in the very first word of the whole psalm. He said, "Lord, how many are my foes?" And now here he expresses his unwavering confidence that his Lord is going to care for him. He knows that God will defend him. "You are a shield around me." He knows that God will vindicate him. "You are my glory." He knows that God will encourage him. He says, "You are the one who lifts my head high." And he knows that God will hear his prayers and provide help in his need. "I call out to the Lord and he answers me from his holy mountain." God may be the almighty creator, far above us and this world, but yet he hears the pleas of your heart and he responds to you with compassion and with grace. And so I want to ask you this afternoon, do you, like David, truly put your trust in the Lord? You may feel like you're under attack. Is it temptations or troubles or doubts or distractions or guilt or conflict or anxiety? Oh, we have a cunning enemy, that is for certain. But we're not facing him on our own. We have an awesome God, a God who loves us so deeply. And he keeps the enemy at bay. He doesn't have free rein in our lives. God reminds us of the blessings we've received in Christ, and he lifts us out of despair, answering all of our prayers, even those that we utter in the dead of the night. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, it says, "Pray." Paul says, "Pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil people, for not everyone has faith, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one." In James chapter 4, James writes, "Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." My friend, whatever comes your way, whatever battles you may face in your life, remember that the Lord is on your side. And perhaps you've really been feeling the devil's attack lately. Don't go it alone. Cry out to God. He truly is our shield, our glory, the lifter of our heads. Be assured that he will hear you and answer your prayers. You can trust in his protection in your life. But in verses 5 and 6, we're shown that God does not only offer protection, but he also offers us peace. David says, I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear, though tens of thousands assail me on every side. Can you picture David on the run with so many armed troops trying to catch him, to harm him, to kill him? But yet he tells us that at night he lies down and he sleeps. And he's confident that he'll wake the next day. It's quite amazing, really, isn't it? For when he slept that he would have been at his most vulnerable. And he, like all of us, would normally have found sleep at such a time near impossible, as he was under so much pressure. But the reason he finds rest is because he's absolutely certain that the Lord will sustain him. He has utter confidence in his father's care. Perhaps he even knew that if his life were taken, that he would still be safe, that he'd still be in God's hands, and that he would awake in glory. And so he says he will not even be anxious when the enemy is drawn up against him on every side. And so the point of these verses is that David isn't only trusting in God's protection, but he's also trusting in God's peace. But I wonder how we go with that. I know how much I struggle. I spend far too many hours in the middle of the night wrestling with my thoughts, with my troubles, with my failings, with the things that I wish were different, the conversations and the criticisms and the frustrations and the fears. They just go around and around and around in your head. Plenty of Christians, including myself, are totally convinced that God protects us. But that doesn't mean we always find peace, does it? Doesn't mean we don't still stew and fret and churn up inside. Because how soon we forget that our God actually is greater than our enemies. How soon we forget that He truly is in control of everything that happens, every event, every interaction, every diagnosis, every struggle. And when we forget, we're tempted to fall into fear again. But remember 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Maybe you've forgotten how God has cared for you in the past. Maybe you've fallen into the trap of facing all of your troubles on your own rather than bringing them to the Lord in prayer. What is it that you find yourself thinking about in the middle of the night? Which hardships or concerns are consuming you? You know, maybe we need this psalm far more than we even realized, because it truly is a psalm for insomniacs. You know Philippians chapter 4, don't you? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's a peace we can't explain, a peace we can't understand, but yet a peace that God gives to His children. We need not fear. We can rest easy. We can go to our beds sure and safe in the knowledge that our Heavenly Father is caring for us. We can go secure in His sustaining grace. We can trust in His protection, but we can also trust in His peace. But now there's one more dimension to David's confidence. He's shown us how he trusts in the Lord's protection, but also in the Lord's peace. But now he also shows us that he trusts in the Lord's promise. Verses 7 and 8, it says, Arise, Lord, Deliver me, excuse me, deliver me, my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked. From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people. Do you remember how back in verse 2, David's enemies were saying, God will not deliver him? Well, David knows better, because here he confidently calls on God to do exactly that. Deliver me, God, he says. And he is assured of it. From the Lord comes deliverance, he concludes. David doesn't only know that God is going to keep him safe in the midst of the battle, but he also knows that one day the battle will be done. He knows that one day God is going to arise and going to rescue him from his enemies once and for all. And how does he expect the Lord to do this? Well, first, he says, by striking them on the jaw. In Hebrew, this phrase represents the ultimate humiliation. It's what we might say in English is like a slap in the face. But he also says he will do it by breaking the teeth of the wicked. When David says this, he's likening his enemies to wild animals. And so he wants God to break their teeth, to take away their power, to take away their strength. David longs for that day when his foes will be disgraced and disarmed and destroyed. And the reason he so confidently calls on God to do these things is because he knows that that is what the Lord has promised. But we can trust in this promise too. It's true that God protects us from Satan's attacks and gives us peace in the midst of them, but it's also true that one day God is going to deliver us from his clutches once and for all, because Satan will be defeated. You see, that's why Jesus came into this world, to win the ultimate victory over the devil and to put an end to his attacks. It started with Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection from the grave, because at that time he paid the price for our transgressions and won the victory over sin and Satan, over death and the devil. In Hebrews chapter 2 it says, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. In Colossians chapter 2 it says, he forgave all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. But so long as Satan is still active, the victory isn't yet complete. It remains a work in progress until Jesus returns. It's then that God's promise will be ultimately fulfilled, because then the serpent's head will at last be crushed and his followers destroyed. Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians 15 when he says, then the end will come when Jesus hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. Or think of Revelation chapter 20. It says, and the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown, and they will be tormented day and night forevermore. What that means, my friends, is that when we feel the devil's attack in our lives, that we can be assured that his days are numbered. We can be assured that Jesus is coming, and that when he does, he will deliver us, his redeemed people, and he will wipe out our enemy at last. And that's why the psalm ends with these beautiful words, "May your blessing be on your people." Friends, we began this afternoon with the story of Johannes, how he was so brutally attacked. Let me read you the rest. Johannes cried out to the Lord for help. "I asked God to give me strength so I could walk. I walked 8 days without anything to eat or drink. By that time I was tired because of hunger and thirst, and I fell asleep. When I woke, I met someone in a white robe. He told me to follow him. And suddenly, he then disappeared. Later, I met my brother-in-law who took me to his home, treated my infested wounds, and then took me to the hospital. Johannes believed that this comforting visitor in the jungle was Jesus himself. His faith in him is strong. I know that I can go through all these difficulties because Jesus will always be with me. With Jesus beside me, I am not afraid." We may not face the same kind of persecution that Johannes had to deal with, but it doesn't mean that Satan has given up on us. He attacks us with hardships and temptations and doubts, trying to undermine our faith and our hope. But just like Johannes and just like David, in the face of trouble, we need to deeply trust in our Lord. I love this quote from J.M. Boyce in his commentary on the Psalms. He says, "When a believer gazes too long at his enemies, the force arrayed against him seems to grow in size until it appears to be overwhelming. But when he turns his thoughts to God, God is seen in his true great stature, and the enemies shrink to manageable proportions." Friends, won't you listen to this psalm for insomniacs? Maybe tonight you will trust in your Heavenly Father more than you have ever done before. Maybe tonight you will find the rest that you have been longing for. Trust in the Lord's protection. He is a shield around His people. Trust in His peace. We can lie down and sleep. And trust in His promise, because Jesus is going to return. And when He does, He will deliver us from every foe, and He will bless us forevermore. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, please help us to recognize the work of the devil in our own lives. He is so clever, so cunning, so capable, and we know that he wants to devour us, wants to rob us of our faith, wants to drag us away from you. And so, Father, we come before you when we plead to you tonight. Please help us to trust in your protection, that you do defend us from his attack, that you vindicate our faith, that you encourage us and respond to our prayers. Lord, help us to cling on to you with all our lives. And Lord, we pray, please also help us to find peace in the midst of these things. Lord, help us to remember the words of this psalm in the middle of the night. May it calm our fears and give us true rest. And Father, please help us also to trust in your promise that there is a day coming when our enemy will be defeated and when he will have no power anymore, and when we will be delivered from his clutches once and for all. Father, we ask you to press these truths upon our hearts and our souls here tonight, that we might love and depend on you more than ever before, knowing that you will protect us from every foe and from every attack, and knowing that we are in your care forevermore. Lord, please hear our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.